Dave and Darren. And the Top 5 Things podcast. That is what we're about to do. A review of some of the stuff we got done on our morning show, which you can hear live every morning on Planet 93.9. If you want to hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
Hear it as it happens. This is condensed. It's the very best.
Just add water.
Toppermost of the poppermost.
You're going to need to cut it.
It's so important to hydrate. It really is. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren.
Hello, everyone.
And we'll get into it right away, right? Number one?
Yeah, but number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
Number one.
Let's do this. It's a review of people looking for advice.
Uh-huh.
From, again, advice columnists or complete strangers on Reddit. This person wondering, how can I convince my married friends,
yes,
who are letting me live with them for free, to stop being affectionate with one another? I'm in a difficult situation.
Maybe you're not.
Who do you think you are? I am.
That's right. I am.
I'm in a difficult situation.
Five times.
I'm in a difficult situation.
Yeah.
I lost my job as a result of my boyfriend showing up at my workplace and behaving crazily.
Okay, crazily.
If a person does too many crazy things, then that person is crazy.
Then I lost my home when I finally broke up with him after realizing I've been dealing with years of emotional and financial abuse from him.
Mm, that's no good.
My friends Charlotte and Jane, a married couple, have been lifesavers and invited me to stay in their spare room while I get back on my feet.
Sure.
I want to be clear that I'm incredibly grateful to them. However, I'm starting to lose my mind living with them and need advice on how to cope until I've got new work and get out of here. Out and about, they never display physical affection and don't act couple-ish in general. In their house, however, oh my God, it is noisy, nauseating.
Uh-huh.
I never stay with them long enough to start acting the way they must do normally when on their own before this, so I had no idea that they kiss and cuddle all the time and call each other cutesy nicknames like doll, sweetness, etc., and they have about a dozen stupid rituals.
Yeah.
For example, Charlotte always cooks a huge breakfast for Jane on Saturday.
Yeah.
And Jane prepares some over-the-top romantic meal for them on Sunday, complete with candles. They buy each other flowers so often that the place is like a greenhouse. They compliment each other multiple times a day.
It's Macintosh.
And I've walked in on them literally waltzing around the kitchen on more than one occasion. Although they at least stop when I come in.
Yeah, well, you got that.
I am not a big public display of affection person anyway, but I am especially not feeling romantic vibes at this time in my life.
No, I understand that.
I went the 3 years taking compliments from my ex-boyfriend such as, you look less fat in that, and had flowers bought for me exactly once. And that was when he was apologizing for cheating on me.
Oh, boy.
Watching Charlotte and Jane gushing about one another and waltzing around is both upsetting and aggravating. I once made a comment to the effect of, could this level of romance be moved to the bedroom, maybe? And Jane responded by saying, I was free to go to my room if it bothered me.
There you go.
When I mentioned to Charlotte, who I'm closer to than Jane, that it's hard for me being around intense couple stuff at the moment, she was more understanding and dialed things back for a few days.
Uh-huh.
Then Valentine's Day came.
Oh, brother.
And as you can imagine, everything reset and the place was full of roses for a week.
Uh-huh.
The last time I snapped and made what I'll admit was an unproductive comment about feeling like I was living in a romantic comedy, Jane basically called me homophobic for telling a gay couple to dial back their affection for my comfort. I defended myself that I would feel the exact same way if I was around a straight couple like this.
Let me defend myself.
But I ended up apologizing when Charlotte started crying. She's dealt with a lot of homophobia from family and was once assaulted for kissing a girlfriend in public. So I can appreciate this is a sensitive topic for her. Nonetheless,
can you?
I hate living like this. We've made up now, and they're back to their usual loved-up selves.
Mm-hmm.
I know I need to move out as soon as possible, but can you advise me, one, how to deal with this without starting another fight until then, and two, whether there's anything else I can possibly say to them about this?
Well, I think we know the answer, right?
Hey, cool out. Just everyone cool out. Cool out!
The answer is to move out as soon as possible.
They're letting you stay in their house for free.
Oh, and it's free too?
Yeah. She's living there
for free.
She's not paying any rent.
Okay.
They're helping you out. You don't get to control what people do in their own homes.
No.
When you're staying there for free.
Right.
Even if
you were paying them money.
Yes.
You'd have a...
Which she's not.
Tinier leg to stand on.
Right.
But not much more.
This is the most ungrateful person I've ever heard of in my life. Could you guys maybe...
Take it to the bedroom.
I need you to cool it with all the kissy-kissy stuff. I'm getting out of a bad relationship. Yeah, we get that. That's why we're letting you live here for nothing.
Uh-huh.
No good deed goes unpunished, right?
Yeah.
Here's another one. Was I wrong to object when my boyfriend revealed he has not been rinsing sauce off my pasta like I've asked him to?
What?
This one.
You mean rinsing the pasta before you put the sauce on it?
No. No, this...
What? Is she...
No, this is even crazier, right? I have always been a picky eater.
Oh, it sounds like it. Here we go.
Exactly. Buckle up. I have always been a picky eater when it comes to tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
Ever since I was a kid, my dad would make my spaghetti different from the rest of the house.
In what way?
I like having an essence of the sauce flavor on the noodles.
Yeah.
But not the overpowering flavor having noodles bathed in the sauce creates.
Okay.
So here's where it gets a bit odd. My dad would always separate the spaghetti from the families after putting the sauce on it, and then would rinse the sauce off with the sink and strainer.
After he'd put... Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, not really.
You're putting the sauce on the noodles.
You're putting on the sauce on the noodles, and then taking some of the noodles from there,
mm-hmm.
and then rinsing it.
Yes.
Leaving next to nothing on it.
Right.
But somehow you think you're getting the essence of the sauce.
There's just a hint, you see.
Barely a hint.
There's a hint of the sauce on there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this is what my dad used to do forever for me. When I was growing up as a child.
Okay, so going forward,
mm-hmm.
she's saying that she's just getting noodles, right?
Yeah, but it's not noodles without the sauce. Put the sauce on.
And then rinse it off.
But then rinse the sauce off.
And he's not wasting the sauce is what he's doing, right? He's just basically giving her just noodles and saying, yeah, I rinsed it off.
My boyfriend has known about this since we first started dating.
Oh, boy.
He told me my food habits were cute.
Mm.
We've been dating for almost 3 years now and moved in together at the beginning of the pandemic so that we could be in lockdown together.
Uh-huh.
Ever since we moved in together, he has insisted on taking charge of cooking and all cooking-related tasks.
Yeah.
The dishes.
Yeah.
The grocery shopping, etc.
Uh-huh.
And he's assigned me the role of cleaning the bulk of the apartment.
The toilet.
You can...
Mow the lawn. Do the oil changes.
I need you to do everything else.
Yeah. Roof the house. I'll just take care of the kitchen.
No, she says we split other tasks pretty much 50-50 too.
Uh-huh.
Everything was perfect, and he always seemed to be making noodles the way I liked them when we had them.
But now she suspects.
But that was until last week.
There's no essence.
Last week when we had spaghetti, we ate and everything was good. But afterwards, he started teasing me, saying things like, "Oh, you really like your pasta with an essence of tomato,
don't you?"
And... How is your tomato
essence,
babe? Always using finger quotes around the word essence.
Oh, don't give yourself away.
Hey, pal, what's your policy on making special orders?
After a few comments, I started to feel like something was off.
Wait a minute.
And I asked him if he'd done anything differently with tonight's noodles than he usually does. And he just started laughing. When he finally stopped laughing, he told me the whole truth, smirking, saying, quote, I didn't do anything different than I usually do. And I have never once made them the way you've requested. Apparently, this entire time we've been living together,
it's been a farce.
He's been skipping the pasta sauce on my noodles entirely.
No, saving the sauce for himself.
He claimed that I didn't notice it for long, and it shouldn't matter that he's making the dinner in a way that's easier for him. Now, I disagree entirely. I think the lying is a huge breach of trust. And so is the refusal to make dinner how I want it. I have been, admittedly, acting passively aggressively to him ever since.
Yeah.
But he thinks he did nothing wrong and that I'm overreacting and that I need to let it go.
Now, I would love to hear what the professional says, because I would think that the professional is like, I can't believe I had to read this.
Well, this is somebody wondering if they're a jerk on Reddit.
Uh-huh.
And the overwhelming opinion is, first off, you're wasting food.
Right.
By washing the sauce off, it doesn't leave an essence.
No.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
It wouldn't leave an essence unless you... You're not talking about just putting a tiny bit of spaghetti sauce and mixing it in with noodles.
No.
That'd be one thing.
No, I want you to...
I've got this bowl of noodles, and I just want a teaspoon of sauce. Not talking about that.
I want you to sauce it up.
And then rinse it.
Then take it off. Put it in a colander and rinse all of the sauce off. So that I get that.
Yeah, you're not getting an essence.
Essence of sauce.
No.
Food, all right?
No, you're clearly a crazy person. Imagine being that nutty and then going to the internet certain... When you're writing this, that everyone's going to have your back.
When you do your spaghetti night.
Yeah.
It's typically you do that like, what, once every 2 weeks?
I would say sure.
Pretty close to that or something?
In fact, could all be tonight? All this talk's got me wondering if maybe tonight's not a Prince spaghetti
tonight's
night at my house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, do you do without meat and then with meat?
The way it usually works is I do turkey meatballs because that's what the wife likes.
Okay.
But you don't ever do it where it's just
the marinara.
Usually I'll do the spaghetti and the marinara. Like I don't do the meatballs in the marinara.
Okay, those are off to the side. You add those if you'd like.
Yeah, because the boy and I eat the meatballs. My wife doesn't care for them to the point where it's like,
wait a minute, thought you said she was the one who likes them.
No, she likes. This is the thing, right? She wants turkey meatballs, but then she never eats meatballs. So the next time I get meatballs, I'm just getting regular meatballs.
Gotcha.
But then I won't put it in. I will prepare them separately and then put the marinara on at the last minute in a separate bowl.
Gotcha.
But that's not crazy.
No, that's no big deal.
No,
that's no
right.
Big whoop. But you're never like, you're not browning up something and then just incorporating it into the sauce.
Not usually. Yeah. No. I would say no. Essence of sauce. Last one. Am I a jerk for intentionally...
Does she know you're not getting turkey meatballs?
I haven't told her yet. It's none of her business. If she's not going to eat the meatballs, she doesn't need to know what I'm getting. Her whole thing is, turkey is somehow more ethical than beef. I don't want to get into it. The boy and I are going to eat beef meatballs, and if she's got a problem, or pork meatballs, whatever. What are your traditional Italian meatballs that come in the bag? What are those made out of?
Probably a mixture of both.
Like pork and beef, right?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I'm doing. Gosh, this segment is, if it is not...
Two animals and one meatball? Oh, man. That's living.
Now
that's living.
Now we're talking.
Now if you can add some turkey in there, three of them.
Now we're talking. Am I a jerk for intentionally pouring wine all over the bride's wedding gown?
Wait. What did they...
Everyone just said you're
out of your mind.
Yeah, everyone told Sauce Lady she's out of her mind. A couple people had a problem with the boyfriend, but it sounds like they're both crazy. And yeah, to think that this is the biggest breach of trust of all time is a bit much too.
Mm-hmm.
But the overwhelming consensus is Essence of Sauce Girl is out of her ever-loving mind. Last one.
How'd you take that? That's what you...
Am I a jerk for intentionally pouring wine all over the bride's wedding gown?
Probably yes.
Hear me out before you blindly say I'm a jerk. 2 weeks ago, my BFF Katie got married to Matt. I was the maid of honor and was very involved in the wedding planning. I love Katie to death, and I took my duties as maid of honor very seriously.
Maybe too serious.
I did my best to make sure Katie had the wedding of her dreams. But the thing is, Katie is saying her wedding was ruined because of me. Katie, for her wedding day, chose one of those two-in-one gowns that switches between being a massive tulle ball gown for the wedding and a slinky tight mermaid gown for the reception because it has a detachable tulle skirt layer. Katie's very showy and a real extra person, something that I adore about her. So she decided that during the reception, she'd step out of her detachable tulle skirt and reveal the underlying mermaid gown in a dramatic fashion in front of all of her guests. It was very on brand for her to decide that she was going to do something dramatic with the costume change, and I was fully in support of this idea. We tried to brainstorm reveal ideas together, and then Katie came up with one that was very risky, but as dramatic and sensational as Katie herself.
Okay.
Really?
She wanted me to accidentally spill wine all over her skirt.
Okay.
And act panicked and horrified by my clumsiness.
Right.
While she'd act like she was very mad at me.
Yeah.
And when the commotion it would cause is at its peak, she'd simply unsnap the skirt and let it fall to reveal the inner reception dress. I was skeptical at first, but I finally agreed because this is a very Katie thing to do. And I didn't want to stifle her dramaticism.
Okay.
The day of her wedding came, and the moment of the costume change arrived. I spilled the wine on her skirt. It wasn't a lot, but it was a substantial amount. And as predicted, there was a hurried commotion to help out the bride, and we did our part with the acting. People were convinced, and I assumed Katie wouldn't drag out the acting bit for more than a few seconds.
Yeah.
But she seemed intent on fully selling the act.
Uh-huh.
So I started to worry.
And really dressing me down. Wait a minute.
And I touched the buckle on the back to tell her she should remove it now, which she did, but it was too late. A good amount of the wine had already seeped through and stained the dress. It was a cringy moment, to be honest, since the reveal was a total fail. And to make things worse, the groom's friends all started pointing and laughing at her. Katie was very upset. I tried to console her the best that I could, even mentioning it would be a funny story for family dinners in my maid of honor.
What about the dinners?
Yeah, you'll be able to talk about this at all your family
dinners. This is going to be great.
I mentioned it in my maid of honor speech, and honestly, I thought she'd gotten over it since she did have fun that night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been 2 weeks, and Katie is still mad at me.
Oh, brother.
I thought we talked it out before she left for her honeymoon, but nope. She's still mad and wants an apology. I told her, hey, this is essentially your fault.
It's your idea.
Not mine. I'm not going to be taking responsibility for it. This whole thing was your idea. And her doing that caused the wine to seep through. She got frustrated with me and said I was being a horrible friend. And apparently all of Katie's family agrees. And now I'm confused if I'm a jerk or not.
Well, clearly not.
Mm-hmm. The wine I spilt was red, which is why she's mad. And the stain is very blatant and obvious.
I thought she said she wanted red wine.
Yeah, no, she did. No, this was all her idea. So is this person a jerk?
I know.
I mean, of course not. It was the whole point of it is that this was her idea.
You had a plot.
Would you put up with something like this if some friend of yours asked you to go along with something goofy like this?
Do I have to? Can you fight?
Darren, here's what I want you to do.
What?
When just before I...
On your 50th birthday.
Just before I grab the microphone, I want you to...
To electrocute me.
Yeah, fake... I've loaded this gun with blanks.
Uh-huh.
And
no. No.
I need you to announce I've had enough of your nonsense.
Uh-huh.
And just let me have it.
Just fire around at me.
I've got these caps in my shirt that will make it look like you need to fire three rounds and do it point blank so it looks like there's no way I can survive it. And then...
Yeah, that'll be...
I need you to yell out, six temper tyrannis, and then, and then try and escape.
And then escape.
This is going to be such a great surprise
for
everybody.
And they are going to laugh.
So if I asked you to do that for the upcoming 50th birthday party,
Bash,
you're going to say no?
Yeah.
Wonder who
it's going to be outside, and I want you to jump from the second story window from the house. Break your leg.
We're going to go see a play. We're going to go see a Mike Schultz play.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be up in this box. Now, what I need you to do, I'll be wearing a top hat.
Uh-huh.
I've always wanted to get assassinated Lincoln style.
Uh-huh.
Could we make this happen? It would really... Oh, people are going to be talking.
They're going to laugh.
Why'd you have to be so
No, this is the this is the bride's fault entirely, and that's the end of it.
Number two.
Babysitters sharing some of their absolute nightmare stories. I imagine, you know, you I think more often than not when you're in a babysitting situation, it's babysitting for people that you kind of know, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I never really had any sort of babysitter situation.
Why, really?
In that I was never babysat.
No.
And I've never really done a ton of babysitting.
No. We had
some dog sitting.
Well, there you go. But you would tend to have, like, when it's dog sitting, people are asking you to watch their dog, or if you're asking someone else to watch your dogs. Tends to be people that you know already, right?
Right, yeah. The idea of hiring some sort of neighbor kid who's 14, but I've got my badge. It's like, what?
But no. you find yourself in a pinch where, like, you don't, maybe you're new in town. Maybe you don't know people. Maybe...
You need a night out.
Right. You got to get out of the house. It makes sense. These are all quick tales of babysitting, and I'm assuming that these are folks that are getting babysitters that... They don't know, because these are a lot of, I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, a lot of weirdos here. A lot of strange...
Weird babies, or...?
Yeah, more often than not, it's parents that are just out of their minds.
Yeah.
For example, one babysitter sharing here, if the kids misbehaved, I was encouraged to spank them with a paddle that they had.
Yeah.
And then make them write their names on the paddle. Don't think I'm going to be doing that. They get stranger.
Yeah, if you find a babysitter that's down with that,
mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
I was told the only thing she specifically wasn't allowed to eat was a bowl of sugar. Don't let them eat a bowl of sugar while I'm gone. It's very important.
Because they're going to try to eat a bowl of sugar.
You're going to spend a lot of time wrangling bowls of sugar from my kids' hands. Another one. It says, I had to change the kid's cloth diaper every 2 hours on the dot. The kid was 6. I assumed it was some sort of disability or something, but no, his parents just didn't want to potty train him, and the kid was content being babied. I remember just making the kid put his own diaper on and encouraging him to use the bathroom if he ever had to go, and I never went back to that house. Probably a good move. I had to put the kids to sleep with the CD player going. That wasn't the weird part. It was a recording of their parents basically going, Molly, you are wonderful. You are a star. You're going to shine bright. And it was several hours long, and apparently they had to listen to it every night. Molly, it's your dad. You are wonderful.
You know he's right.
You're gonna shine bright.
I really am. I really am.
So feels, comforting.
Feels good. Feels real good.
Here's another one. It Says, the first time I went to their house, they told me about their daughter's very serious peanut allergy. They walked me through the EpiPen prevention and phone numbers of their neighbors who were doctors. All of this was fine so far, and I took it very seriously. But then the mother put her hands on my shoulders and said, if she dies, we wouldn't blame you. It wouldn't be your fault. While I appreciated the thought, this freaked me the hell out, and I was 100 times less comfortable.
What do you mean you appreciated the thought?
If something were to happen, we wouldn't blame you.
No, what they were doing was trying to, you know, they were wondering if you were, are you down with the
are
hit?
Are you picking up what are I'm you, are you, dropping?
Yes. Do you get it?
If that, we came home and there wasn't a kid anymore,
do you know,
we wouldn't press charges. You know what I'm saying? Just going to throw that out. Another one says, a single mom once told me to use the baseball bat by the door in the event the kid's father came by and tried to take them. That was pretty weird and uncomfortable.
If you wouldn't mind fighting him off.
It's going to happen. We're, oh no, he's at the door. I don't want to deal with this for six All bucks right. an hour.
What did she tell me? Choke up.
A hippie mom I babysat for was very pregnant and asked that when the baby was born, if I could wrangle the toddler while she gave birth in a bathtub at home. The two-year-old was to be in the room watching while I explained what was happening.
Watch this!
Thank you. Can you do play-by-play while I... shoot out another kid. That would be great. There we go. Explain what that is. Another one says, the family gave me instructions to let their kids drink chocolate milk, which they were otherwise not allowed to have. I think they wanted their kids to associate babysitter time with fun time.
Yeah.
So the parents could go out more often.
Okay.
Well, I don't hate that one. I used to babysit for this family when I was in high school back in the 80s. They had no books or reading material of any kind, except there would usually be like two sections of the Wall Street Journal and a running magazine lying around, but no books in the house. Well, that's weird. Not as weird as some of the other ones here. Like this one, I was instructed to give him a warm milk in a baby bottle right after every dinner. He was a fully abled 10-year-old boy. Yeah, that's... written instructions here that said, if Brady stands by the door, it just means he needs to go out. Open the door and let him back inside in a few minutes. Brady was a 4-year-old boy.
I just need a little fresh air.
I gotta get out of this house.
I'm like a caged animal.
On my first day... they sent over an adult male friend of theirs who asked to come in. I said no, and I was told that I was being tested, and I had passed.
Yes, I passed the test.
Okay. This one I think is the strangest. The mom had me put her kids in their car seats and sit in the driveway with all the car doors open while she just hung out inside the house. 5 hours of me standing in the driveway watching them sit inside their car. I never came back. Nor should you.
Well, she was probably shopping online. It happens.
One parent had me feed her 1-year-old only from a freshly opened baby food container. If she only ate 2 or 3 spoonfuls, I was to throw it all away. And when she wanted more in 15 minutes, I was to open a new one. I thought it was so she would finish her meal and be full for a while, but she said it was okay to feed her every time she wanted it. I was throwing away 5 or 6 jars in a 2-hour babysitting job. Eh, that's strange, but not as strange as...
a little wasteful.
Yeah, yeah. The mother tells me our children, 6, 4, and 1, are vegetarian, and you need to respect that. Okay,
I won't,
like the snowman yelling at Ben.
I won't.
You need to respect that.
I won't slaughter any cows while I'm here.
So the mother says, our children, 6, 4, and 1, are vegetarian. Please respect that. The second the mom walks upstairs, the dad says to me, I'm sorry, but they're my kids too. And if they want meat, it's because they need it. I keep a fridge in my workshop. I got a meat fridge. Just, that's where the meat is.
If you need to snap off a Slim Jim, oh yeah!
And then finally, the 3-year-old had to watch a VHS tape of a live Fleetwood Mac concert before bed.
The dance.
3 years old, had to watch the VHS tape of a live Fleetwood Mac concert.
The classic lineup or the early blues lineup, or what are we talking?
I'm guessing it's
the Rumours lineup?
It's post-Rumours, right? Their 3-year-old daughter had to watch this VHS tape of a live Fleetwood Mac concert before bed. And I was like, okay, that's cute. That's adorable. 3-year-olds love the weirdest things. She's so quirky and this will be fun. But the thing is, she did not love it. She wanted to watch the dinosaur movie, The Land Before Time, instead. When the family found out I was not making her watch Fleetwood Mac, they were upset by this, and I was never called back to babysit. Our daughter is going to grow up with an appreciation for Fleetwood Mac.
She will not be ready for the Fleetwood Mac tribute act.
Little Rhiannon is going to be a star that shines bright. Yeah, I wonder. There's got to be data somewhere on the number of babysitters that, like, only do one. You go and you go to the house once.
This is not for me.
And then you're like, yeah, I'm never going back into that house.
I'm not available.
That house of horrors. No thanks.
Number three.
Story from Florida that I wanted to share with you this morning. Last night, my wife was telling me, I guess there's some story of a guy that got eaten by an alligator. And as she's reading the story, she's like, this is a block from my dad's house.
Florida.
It wasn't her dad.
No, her dad's fine.
God, it's not Stan, is it?
No, everyone's fine. But as she's reading the story, she's like, why does this street sound familiar? And she's like, oh no.
Oh, my God, that's Dad's house.
To the Google Maps, it's like, my dad lives right here.
It's like your Unabomber story.
Right, exactly. Oh, this isn't good.
Wait a minute, that's Dad.
Florida story involving a good old catfishing. Florida woman, Nicole Hayden, lives in Palm Beach County.
Wait a minute. Is it a catfishing or someone gets eaten by an alligator?
No. These are different stories.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to be... the guy getting eaten by an alligator.
Thing to catfish somebody, but to the point where they get eaten by an alligator.
I'm not doing the gator story just because Florida man gets eaten by an alligator. At this point in our show,
yeah,
it's been done.
Okay, gotcha.
Right? Because the gator guy... The guy who died after he crashed his car into an 11-foot gator is what happened.
He hit an alligator?
Yeah.
And after hitting the alligator with your car, you still get eaten? How does that happen?
Must have thrown him from the car. I don't know. They say car
The alligator didn't swallow the car.
Well, no. It's not going to be able to digest that. The 11-foot gator... This was after midnight on Thursday. I mean, you're gonna make me do this story.
That's a big gator, but it's not a big enough gator to swallow a car.
The guy, 59-year-old John Hopkins, veered off the road and turned into a ditch. And that's where the gator feasted.
So he was getting out of the vehicle.
No. That's what they do. They lay in the street waiting for you to get into the ditch. And now you're on the gator's terms. This is a different story, though. A completely different Florida story that I wanted to share.
Florida? Okay. But that's America's wing.
Nicole Hayden lives in Palm Beach County. And she got catfished. Which is something that happens when you're dating someone online and they're using someone else's picture to make you think that you're talking to them.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd ever go through all that trouble, but okay.
It seems like a lot of, well, I think you do it because you're scamming these women out of money more than not, right?
I suppose.
There's that whole show on MTV where it's just weirdo losers that catfish because it's really the only way that they have an opportunity.
And that's all money related.
I think some of it is. I think the MTV stuff is just weirdos who, it's like their only way to talk to people is to pretend they're somebody else. Reading the story here, for Nicole Hayden of Palm Beach County, Florida, her first encounter...
Why don't they call it Cyranode, as opposed to catfishing?
Yeah, I don't know how did the term become catfishing. That's
Cyrano would be like, okay, I get that.
Yeah, what does it have to do with catfish?
Like you're fishing for somebody?
I guess.
You got them hooked?
Yeah, why do they
call... They're just using catfish as a random fish?
Yeah, what is it about a catfish that makes it
any more
deceptive? I don't know. I don't know why they decided on calling. When you pretend to be someone else online, that's called being a catfish.
Okay.
But why is it called catfish?
Why not like a guppy?
Yeah. Well, it starts from, I guess, because it was a documentary called Catfish. The TV show is a spinoff of the movie.
But still...
Yeah, why do they call it catfishing?
Bullhead.
The catfish, I guess there's an essay that came out in 1913. That talks about catfish and catfishing.
Okay.
But are catfish known for being devious? Like a catfish doesn't pretend to be a marlin, right? It just sits at the bottom of the river and eats garbage all day long.
I got marlined.
That would be better. The earliest version of the story is from Henry W. Nevison, who in 1913, in his book Essays in Rebellion, one of the essays is called The Catfish. And he pretending
to be someone you're not.
Yeah.
To
this is something
hook somebody.
They've been calling it this for a long time.
Okay, all right.
But why they settled on catfish, I don't know the answer to that.
Or why he did.
Yeah, none of this makes any sense. This Florida woman, her first encounter with the face of the man she would eventually know as Alessandro Quinquini, came in the form of a direct message to her Instagram account. The man in the message called himself Marcus, a marine engineer whose profile post included a short summary of his personality. It simply said this: I'm not for everyone, but I'm okay with that.
I'm an acquired taste.
That would be a red alert for me. If somebody...
I wasn't made for the masses.
...summarizes himself as, I'm not okay for everyone, but I'm okay with that, that would be a bit of a red flag for me. Hayden is a single mother of two. She said the messages were sent, they were casual before they flew into romantic overdrive just days later.
Romantic overdrive.
She says all of a sudden it was starting to become really heavy. I love you. I want to marry you.
Oh boy.
I immediately knew something was wrong. Marcus wanted to come home to Florida.
But they haven't met.
And meet her for Thanksgiving. Yeah, wanted to meet her family for Thanksgiving.
I'll bring the turkey.
Well, I don't know about the turkey. The stuffing.
And let me bring a couple boxes of stuffing.
Stovetop.
Well, off-brand.
Marcus wanted to come home to Florida and meet her family for Thanksgiving. That's when she blocked him. She says, don't trust anybody because anybody can hide behind a screen.
Anyone can hide behind a turkey.
Unfortunately, before she ended her relationship with him, she sent him a photo of herself at the beach.
Yeah.
It was a swimsuit picture that was then altered into a version that made it appear like she was naked. Marcus used that photo to blackmail her.
Well, why did she send that? By the way, this is over. You might like this. What are you doing? Creating your own revenge porn? If you're going to use anything, use this one.
He demanded $6,500 or he was going to send the photograph of her to her family.
Wow.
She says, they found me about a month later on my WhatsApp account and started threatening me. They were going to find me and my kids. Now, she never paid Marcus.
Well, no.
And a photograph of her that was, again, a fake photograph of her being nude, it has never emerged on any social media.
I say, go ahead. I think it's great.
But here's the thing. A month later, or a short time later, I should say, the picture of Marcus shows up on her Instagram account as a possible dating match.
Okay.
And she thinks, well, here we go again. It was the face, the same face, but there was a different name.
Yeah.
Alex the Officer, a.k.a. Alessandro Cinquini, a veteran officer with Carnival Cruise Line.
Oh, boy. Some sort of ship wacko.
In an unlikely twist of fate, the two started messaging, FaceTiming, and now they're dating.
Ugh.
And so somebody used this guy's picture to catfish her. She gets in over her head, but gets out okay, before anything terrible happens.
As far as the real guy goes.
Then the real guy, so the catfish used this guy's face. But now she's with the real guy.
Okay, so she didn't have a problem with the guy's face.
No, liked the guy's face. Just didn't care for, you know, the being a weirdo
being
and
threatening
and trying to extort her. Yeah. They've been dating since January and have decided to go public to warn different women that, first of all, his photograph is being used by hundreds of imposters every day. He says the main goal for the imposters is to make money. In this case, my picture is used to trick you to create fake stories. You have to be careful. This guy has gotten messages from women everywhere in the United States, all the way to Peru. Many telling them that his name is linked to other names, including Thomas Riley, Alex, and of course, Marcus. In one case, a woman in the United States sent a text to Alex, the real guy, to tell him that her mother lost $40,000 to somebody that was using his photograph.
Remember when someone was trying to catfish somebody? Was it in Muscatine or somewhere where they were using Greg Dutra's photo?
I don't remember that.
From Channel 6?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah. They were trying to pass themselves off as Dutra.
Oh, no. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And this was down in Muscatine?
I remember it as being Muscatine, but I'm not positive.
Oh, wow. No, I don't remember
that. Well, you
that.
Should remember it. You were there talking about it. That doesn't rattle anything in your
no
belfry?
I'm forgetting a lot lately. Well, it's really starting to freak me out.
It's, you know, memory almost full is what you got going on.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you've been around so long, you got so many details in your head that you can only keep so much.
Now, the guy whose picture is being used by the catfish says the amount of accounts that have reported to me, I can't even quantify it. Nicole is the first person I was able to meet that was targeted by a catfish imposter.
Using my image.
Right. I don't know.
We already had a bit of an icebreaker.
I mean, you got to be furious, but also kind of flattered. Huh? I am so handsome. Yeah, well,
ask Dutra.
Yeah, I guess he's been
ask
through
Dutra
this.
If he considers it flattering or just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Did they say that they were Greg Dutra or they were just using his picture?
That I don't know. I don't know if they were trying to say, yes, this is who I am or... This is,
that's right. I'm former weatherman Greg Dutra, and I'm in love with you in Muscatine.
Uh-huh.
Will you please send me some money so I can come down there and smooch you up, but good? I mean, I'm furious that people are using my picture, but I'll say this.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I will take it as a compliment. I'm looking at this dude's picture, and frankly... It doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. Well, he's maybe not your type.
No. I took this picture you sent me of you on the beach, and I've made it look like you're naked.
Oh, I thought she made it look like she was naked.
No, I think they did it.
Oh.
Did they do it or did she do it?
Because if you do it, or why did you send yourself on the beach at all?
The swimsuit picture was then altered into a version that made it appear she was posing nude. I think they did it.
Mm.
What they do is they take your swimsuit picture and then they make you look naked, and then that's when they, that's when they get you.
If Woody had gone right to the police, this would never have happened.
Right, exactly.
Number four.
We used to have two IHOPs in town, and now we have zero IHOPs in town. We went from being a two IHOP community
right.
to a zero
one
IHOP
over
community.
By the mall. Is that right?
There was one by South Park, yeah.
And then the and other then one on 53rd.
Yeah, and both are gone. I wonder what they'll do with the one on 53rd.
I was just thinking about that on the way in this morning. Not necessarily about IHOPs, but I was just thinking, are we doing what we need to do to keep some of these new restaurants in business?
Yeah.
Like, are we doing enough? Are people going to, like, Portillo's enough? Are they going to that Raising Cane enough for them to sustain,
they keep putting
themselves?
They keep putting restaurants on 53rd Street. So I think that's kind of an answer to your question. I mean, there's going to be that new Mission Barbecue right there where all of that stuff is.
There's the new Wendy's up there as well. But yeah. I was just thinking about this. Like, you know, you wanted this for so long.
Right.
And then it's like, are we doing enough?
Well, that happens, right? Like, remember, in that exact location on 53rd Street, everyone was so excited about Krispy Kreme coming to town. You remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, right.
And that, what and did that last your, a year?
You got your Five Guys burgers, right?
Yeah.
Are people going to that enough?
Well, when they're open.
Well?
That's another issue. QC Restaurant Week has come to a close. I don't know. I don't know. I will say every time, because Raising Cane is right across from the Costco.
Yes.
And when I'm waiting at the light, there's always people in line at
Raising
Cane's.
Well, that could very well be the case. Yeah. It could very well be the case with Portillo's as well, that there's, they're doing fine.
I'll say this. I love Portillo's. Since it's open, yeah. I've maybe gone three times.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
Am I part of the problem?
I mean, I've been there half a dozen times.
Okay. Well, I would have lost money on a bet where you go there more than I have. But there it is. I guess now that it's here. Because part of
I got a lot of Chicagoland in my heart, David.
Part of the appeal of Portillo's is, like, I would have to go to it because I was out of town and we didn't have it here. Once it's here, there's not that urgency.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. I dig it. The IHOP there on 53rd and Elmore, you would think, is pretty prime real estate, and somebody would want to have that building. I'm not sure the ins and outs of what will be there when something goes in there, but it just seems like too good of a space to sit empty forever. Although I thought the same thing about the old Dick's Sporting Goods, which is not too far from there. That building's been sitting empty for, 3-4 years? Who knows?
Prime real estate for a mega church.
I mention this because IHOP has partnered with Pepsi to release a new soda.
Gotcha.
Raji.
That'll do, Lawrence.
Pepsi and IHOP coming together for maple syrup Pepsi.
Mm.
Maple syrup cola. It says here, it's unlike any soda you're used to. It has the indulgent...
It's gross. It's just too much. Although I have to imagine there's somebody who does that, right?
Puts maple syrup in their Pepsi?
You know, like a drunken steak. Like a, what was it? A wet steak?
Sloppy steak. Yeah, you order the water. They can't tell you not to do it.
Right. I have to imagine that there is somebody, and it probably started when you were like a little kid.
Mm.
It's like, I like pancakes, but what I like to do is, I get my pancakes, I pour a little Pepsi on them.
That's weird.
They get a little sloppy.
sloppy
They get
hot
a little
cakes.
Sloppy, but, they absorb all the Pepsi, and then I just eat them up. Someone's got to be doing that.
It has the indulgent, this maple syrup Pepsi, has the indulgent flavor profile of maple syrup.
What's the...
So you can expect crisp notes of caramel combined with cola.
What's the viscosity on this sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's got
a... still a soda form?
Yeah.
Pop form?
You can't drink maple syrup.
Well, you could.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Right from the tree.
Right off the look, bat.
That boy's out there again.
Just sucking that tree.
That boy is sucking on that tree again. I swear to God.
Right off the bat, you may be thinking this will be one super sweet drink. After all, sugary soda and maple syrup?
That boy ain't right.
However, it says we're hoping that there's a balance of flavors so that it's oddly satisfying and breakfast worthy.
Look at the hug that guy's giving that tree.
Mm. Oh, that's not right. No.
I swear, that kid, since day one.
That's all he wants to do.
Since day one.
I don't mind the sucking of the tree. It's the things he says to it before and afterwards.
When he found out about sap, that was it. It was over. Moving to Vermont was the worst thing we could have ever done.
What? That's on us.
That's on... Yeah. Huh.
Why did we pick up and move to Vermont?
Inner city would have been fine. But no, we had to move to Vermont.
To get your hands on the Pepsi Maple Syrup Cola, you've got to enter a sweepstakes. Posting a photo or video of your pancakes on Instagram or Twitter.
See?
And then using a hashtag, show us your stack.
They want you to pour the Pepsi on the pancakes.
Tomorrow is your last day to do this. 2,000 lucky winners will receive a single 12-ounce can of maple syrup Pepsi. Well, their heart's not really in it.
Doesn't seem like it.
In October of last year, Pepsi came out with Cracker Jack Pepsi, a blend of caramel, popcorn, and peanut flavors.
With no prize inside the can, I bet, though.
Oh, it's
not even
it's a magnifying glass. You're going to choke to death on it.
Not even a snake tattoo.
They also created a version of Pepsi made out of Peeps. They did a Pepsi Hot Cocoa. And a apple pie Pepsi.
I've got your hot apple pie.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. Quit wasting our time with maple syrup and go back to the holiday spice.
You just
spice.
Want the holiday spice.
Yes.
Can you still get the Coke Starlight? Is that a thing?
Did I tell you I tried that?
Yeah, you said you liked it.
It was interesting. But here's the thing.
You said you like drank gallons of it.
No, I got a six pack of it, and they were the little tiny cans.
Ooh.
And... I don't think I'll ever buy it again. I did it. It was interesting.
You don't need to. You've got it.
Well, it's gone.
Oh.
Well. Yeah. It's been consumed. It's interesting. The Starlight Coke is interesting. But I don't know.
Now, they're trying to say that the people love the Coca-Cola coffee.
Who's saying that?
Do people? Well, Coca-Cola is.
Okay.
Is that true? Are people loving the Coca-Cola with the coffee in it to kind of
I haven't seen this.
Be part of your afternoon... regime?
I haven't seen...
The regiment?
I haven't seen that
to get through the day?
Looking at last year, Coca-Cola reported a 5% net revenue decline. And apparently the coffee is a big part of it. This Coca-Cola coffee... this is not something that
it's not working?
I don't think they're even... I don't think it's available anymore.
Hmm. Well, they tried it a couple different times.
They have.
Because it was Coca-Cola Black.
That came and went.
Years ago.
Coca-Cola earlier this year unveiling the Coke with coffee and Coca-Cola with coffee zero sugar. I have not seen these on the store shelves. Although, do they keep them where... Do you keep them where the Coke is or do you keep them where the coffee is? And that's the thing, too. I kind of have can blindness. I know what I want, and I look for it, and I don't really look around to see what else is on the shelves. I don't notice new flavors, really, ever. Now, it's the opposite when I'm looking at beer. Then I tend to only look for the new stuff. But when it comes to sodas, Cokes...
You got the old cheap trick problem. I know what I want, and I know how to get it.
That's exactly it. Right on. Maple syrup Pepsi. I'd try it, but I would... try it as a beverage, not something to put on pancakes. The idea of just making
soaking your pancakes with it.
Sloppy flapjacks. It seems like a mistake.
Five.
Number five.
Thinking all this rain, it'd be a good idea to put some grass seed in the backyard. I got some bare spots that I just can't seem to figure out. Like no matter what I do every year, it just doesn't. Because the problem is, like, I'll put the seed in, and then and the grass will grow for a little bit, and then I just give up watering it. So that's part of the problem. It's really it's my inability to make grass grow.
You gotta stay on top of it. You need a professional.
Yeah, but I'm not throwing. I have a certain amount of money that I'm willing to spend on the on the grass.
This grass is good enough.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, it's a bare spot, but the bare spot's getting bigger and bigger. So it's something I gotta get taken care of. And I get that. There's that Scott seed stuff where it's like, oh, you know, it waters itself or whatever.
Waters itself?
Oh, it comes with a little, you know what I'm talking about, where it's like the easy seed. And that'll grow, and it'll look good for like a month, and then it dies. It's just not hardy enough. So I got to...
Listen, eventually your grass is going to look like crap anyway.
What do you mean?
I mean, typically it looks good after, what, the first mow?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's as good as it's going to look all year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But see, that's the I think now's the time I probably should have put the seed in before winter, right? I probably am already too late. I don't know. I just feel like people...
You can get ready for next year, maybe.
I feel like when people come over...
Maybe next spring.
And they take a look at the backyard and they see those bare spots. I feel like they judge me.
Do they point it out?
Well, nobody really...
They make reference to it.
People are kind, but I feel like it's you know, what kind of father... What kind of father has a yard like this? That's how I feel people judging me.
What about the boy? Does he beat you up over it?
Oh, no, he could care less. No. No, this is a
weird... I would only worry about him then.
It's a weird priority that only I have. And I don't know what it's about, but I feel like, I don't know. It's a weird... weird hang-up of mine. I see the bare spot, and I equate that as like being a failure as an adult, as the dad around here. Like, you know,
well,
you should have a nice, thick, luxurious lawn, and I don't have it. And I've tried, but then I don't stay on top of it because it's like a priority that it's not working the way I want it to work. And then I get it to work, but then I don't stay on top of it because at the end of the day, I've got other things going on than the grass in my backyard. Am I alone in this? Am I the only one that feels this way? Am I the only one with grass issues? This is a safe place to talk about these things, isn't it?
No, I go for walks. There's plenty of people who are having problems.
Okay, well, that's what I want to hear. And I can't, the front yard is fine. I will stay on top of it because strangers see the front yard.
That's
you see.
Typically all I see is the front yard.
Right. No, my backyard's a mess. It's not great.
It's a horror show.
I always feel better about myself when we do a Florida Man story. And this one, oh boy.
Florida.
I have trouble wrapping my brain around this one because I don't understand what the end game was of this knucklehead. This happened on Monday. Kendall Rust is a 30-year-old contractor who was working at the Navy SEAL Museum. He was arrested on Monday for allegedly trying to steal a ballistic vest that was worn by a member of the team that raided Osama bin Laden's hideout in Pakistan. So they have like a ballistic vest on display there at the Navy SEAL Museum, and this guy thought,
I'd look pretty boss in that.
That would be pretty great to have that. The police allege that Kendall Rust was working inside the museum in Fort Pierce, Florida, when someone there at the museum noticed that he was acting suspiciously. When he later picked up his tools and began to leave, the employee told cops that she noticed a Navy SEAL ballistic artifact was missing from the room that Rust was in. Apprised of the item's disappearance, a museum official confronted Rust, who copped to swiping the vest because he, quote, wanted to take a picture of it. Police recovered the vest from his toolbox. A museum official estimates that the vest is worth $50,000 since it was part of the uniform a Navy SEAL veteran wore during the Osama bin Laden raid. That's, May 2011, when SEAL Team 6 members raided his placed there in Abbottabad, Pakistan. He's now looking at felony larceny charges, booked into the county jail where he's being held in lieu of $10,000 bond. Was the idea that it would be a cool thing to have, or was the idea it's worth $50,000? How do you sell something like that?
Yeah, who do you sell that to?
Right. How would you even find a buyer? There's no, like, what do they call it, provenance, right? If you steal something from a museum. Did you just want to walk around in it and play Army Man for a little bit there, or Navy SEAL? What was the idea?
This is my ballistic vest walk. Look at me. Check me out.
No, I just wanted to take a picture of it. Did you? You could have taken a picture of it here at the museum, you know. We encourage that sort of thing. That's why it's on display.
Figured it'd look better in my toolbox if I took a picture of it.
Well,
doing
no,
that.
If I take a picture and list it for $50,000.
Yeah. Do you imagine that if you're working there at the Navy SEAL Museum, you kind of always have to have your head on a swivel for people acting weird, right?
Well, I think that's everywhere.
That's just an everywhere thing?
Yeah. I have to. I do that here in this studio.
It's just the two of us.
It's just still. I have. How much do I really know about you? I mean, you.
It's a great point.
You could act up at any time.
It's a great point. You
think I'm going to turn my back on you?
I wouldn't.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, who did? No one could have seen that coming.
Like a slap to the face on Oscar night. It came and it went, and it's all anybody wants to talk about.
I'm going to dance to my own tunes all night long.
Okay.
Like nothing happened.
Tell that story, because I don't know that we...
Well, that's the headline that I just saw, that apparently at the some sort of Oscar party...
After the Oscars, after Will Smith assaults Chris Rock in front of a billion people, you're saying
he just
that
dances to his own songs.
He went to a party and just kept dancing to Get Jiggy with It?
Well, that's probably one of them.
That's bizarre.
It's
was he requesting his own songs, or
that I don't know. I don't know. Was it his own party?
Does he go to like a party where everyone else is at and keep telling the DJ to play his stuff?
Just keep doing it.
And everyone's going to do whatever he says because they know what he's capable of.
At this point,
I didn't want to play Parents Don't Understand, but he's got a mean streak in him. I'm not taking any chances. Thanks for listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. I guess we'll do it again, but until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
That's it. The game's over, okay? The game's over. Let the new games begin.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.